Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the destruction of our moral, ethical, biblical foundations. If our foundations be destroyed, what will America be? Where will we go? What other nation can we go to? Every nation around the globe seeks to come to America. America is our last hope. And what we have known as America for the last 244 years is under attack. It is a demonic, satanic attack to destroy the ideal nation. On the yes, we have our faults. Yes, we have things that have taken place in American history that ought not to have, but yet we're the, and many people talk about racism, they talk about slavery, et cetera, et cetera. That's all bunk. Has nothing to do with what's taking place today. It's an overt socialist, Marxist, communist attempt to overthrow the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, just before the news break, we were talking about an article that I'm looking at here. It says California legislature passes a bill reducing penalties for oral, anal, and sex with willing children. California lawmaker passed the bill Monday that would reduce penalties for adults who have oral anal sex with willing, notice now, minor children if the sex offender is within 10 years of age of the victim. For example, it is Senate Bill 145. The legislation is passed, and it's waiting on the governor's desk to be signed, of which he said that he's going to sign it. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the most contemptuous, the most rude, ridiculous, God-dishonoring legislation that I think could have been passed in any state, city, or county across the United States of America. This article says, according to Senate Bill 145, the legislation would exempt from mandatory registration as a sex offender a person convicted of certain offenses involving minors if the person is not more than 10 years older than the minor, and if the offense is the only one requiring the person to register. The measure would allow a judge to decide if an adult who engages in oral or anal sex with a child must register as a sex offender if that person is within 10 years of age. The bill would put an end to blatant discrimination against the LGBTQ people engaged in consensual sexual activity. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just boil it down for our listeners' ears. Simply put, it is a Sodom and Gomorrah bill that's been passed by the California legislature that's placed on the governor's desk, of which he said he's going to sign it, that will allow the sodomite lifestyle, will allow the LGBTQ sodomite pedophile perverts to prey on children. And the bill explicitly says that the criteria by which this is determined is if that pervert, that pedophile, that sodomite is not more than 10 years older than the child. For example, a child can be 8 and the sodomite pedophile 18. That could be 25 and 15, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And according to the bill, ladies and gentlemen, if the child gives consent, that is willing consent, that it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that. The bill, this article says, the bill put an end to blatant discrimination against the LGBTQ people in consensual activity. Here's another article about it. I'll just read the headlines. California reduces penalties for pedophilia with willing kids. California lawmakers sent the bill to the desk of Governor Gavin Newsom that would reduce penalties for adults with, and it lists the type, sex, and this, willing minors if the offender is no more than 10 years older than the child. Here's another article. California lawmaker passes bill that addresses discrimination of the LGBTQ youth regarding state sex offender registry. It is, ladies and gentlemen, one of the most ridiculous, horrendous things that could have taken place in the United States of America. It goes back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And ladies and gentlemen, you studied the Bible and you recognize in Genesis chapter 19, verse 4 and 5, where two men had gone into Lot's house, and that evening, all of the men, both young and old, the scripture says, circled Lot's house and demanded they send the men out that they might know them, is a euphemism for having sex with them. And then you find in the same chapter, in chapter 19, verse 24 and 25, where God sent rain down fire from heaven, fire and brimstone, the scripture says, from heaven, to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and all of the plains, that is, all the communities round about. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says God is immutable. That means he is unchangeable. And if that's how God dealt with that kind of sin then, what is God going to do today? Let me just do a little parenthetical statement as a footnote to that statement. What are the raging fires about in California today? I understand someone were set by a group having a coming out party for the sodomites, and they used pyrotechnics that started the fire and some of the underbrush around the buildings. I understand, even the latest is the potentiality that some of these fires were started by anarchists, the Antifa group. I understand that some of the fires may have been started by some of the Islamics that want to see America burn. But there, at one point in time, there were 43 fires raging in California, Oregon, and the state of Washington. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, those three states, perhaps if you look at morals, ethics, and values, and the way they have handled the destruction of our cities with the socialist, communist, Marxist thugs and the BLM, if you look at it on that basis, the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered, is it possible that it's God's judgment pouring down upon a state, a region of America that's absolutely spit in God's face with their immorality, ungodliness, unholiness, and trying to crush the church and trying to make the state a Sodom and Gomorrah? Now, that's just the Youngblood's analysis of the whole picture. But I believe there is perhaps a lot of truth to that potentiality. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I'd love to have your telephone call. The call goes directly through to our studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question or comment. Is this bothering you? Does it bother you that this is happening in America? What should the Christian do? How should we respond as we watch the foundations of America, the Christian biblical foundations of our great nation, as we watch them being destroyed? How should we then live, as Francis Schaeffer once said? What should we do? What ought to be our response to that? Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching this on an escalating basis in America. And yet, while this is happening, while this is taking place, to show you the irony and the ludicrousy of all of it, here's an article that says a boy, 12 years old, gets suspended from school and cops call at his door for having a toy gun during a virtual class. He's having online studies, and he happens to be holding a toy pistol in his hands. And all of a sudden, the teacher gets the school police to send the local police to his door to threaten arrest because he's got a weapon in his own home, a toy weapon in his own home that happens to be visible in an online virtual class. This article reads, in a story that completely embodies the collision of liberal education, pandemic policies, politics, and the emasculation of adolescent boys, a distracted middle school kid has been suspended from virtual school for holding an obvious toy gun while inside of his own home. The guns were once a staple toys for toys in the chest for boys as the tough as nails girls who could hang out in their neighborhood. Isaiah Elliott, a seventh grader in Colorado Springs, was attending his third day of virtual learning at Grand Mountain School when he got himself into trouble. The teacher wrote that there has been a very serious issue with waving around a toy gun, which she had reported to the school's vice principal, according to Elliott, before El Paso County deputies had even arrived, Isaiah was hit with a five-day suspension from school. How a school suspension works as punishment during virtual learning was not fully explained, and neither was the suspension to Isaiah's parents. The school punished the 12-year-old without speaking to him at all. For them, this article says, and I quote, for them to go as extreme as suspending him for 5 days, sending the police out, having the police threaten to press charges against him because they want to compare the virtual environment to the actual in-school environment is totally insane, this writer says. Yeah. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, that shows you the irony of what's taking place. It's okay to have pedophilia. It's okay to have the perverts. It's okay to have the sodomites to prey on our children 8 years old and up. But it's not all right to have a toy gun to be seen on a virtual classroom, virtual education screen. Now, there's something wrong with that picture. Perhaps you agree that it's okay. Perhaps you're frightened to death to see a kid with a toy gun. I grew up in the era when cowboys and Indians was what we normally played. It was fun to have your belt on with the two pistols, one on each side, and your caps in it, and you go firing bang, 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 running around the house, gotcha, 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 chasing the Indians away. But ladies and gentlemen, that's a thing of the past. If you even talk about a cap pistol, if you even have one seen. In fact, there was a case where a student was expelled from school because he had sketched out, a kindergartner had sketched out a toy gun on a piece of paper and held it up in the class, and he was expelled from kindergarten because he had drawn a picture of a toy gun. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the very crumbling, the very crushing, the very decimation of the foundations of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist Democrats that have fanned the flames of rioting and vandalism and looting and burning and murder across America. And then the communist network news spread the hate, the race baiting, and the anger that now causes the moral fabric, the very foundation, the very biblical basis of sinful humanity to manifest itself in a variety of ways. That's what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. And it is showing in this. Here's an article. How does this play out? We have fanned the flames. We've divided America. We literally have two Americas today. We have a hatred and animus that is spewing out at every seam of the United States of America. We're watching the explosion, the internal explosion, implosion of the United States of America. And I don't say this to say that there's no hope. I don't say this for it to all sound like it is some way detrimental and deadly, although it is. I'm saying this to warn us, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to wake up as Christians and recognize what's happening, and we need to pray, seek God's face, confess our sins, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land. That's what's needed. But here's an article that says, two women indicted on hate crime felonies for stealing a child's MAGA hat. That's M-A-G-A, hat. This article reads, two women who appeared in a viral video lashing out at supporters for President Donald Trump stealing a red Make America Great Again hat from a child have been indicted on a long list of charges, including felony, hate crime. Delaware Online reported a Newcastle County grand jury indicted Olivia Winslow and Carmen Amy, both 21, for second-degree robbery, second-degree conspiracy, endangering the welfare of a child. Now listen, they're charging them with endangering the welfare of a child, and all they've done is stolen a MAGA hat. Contrary-wise, in California, you have it where the pedophiles and the perverts and the LGBTQ sodomite agenda now will allow a child 8 years old and up to be molested, sexually being preyed upon, and it is law. This article further reads, the two were seen in a video damaging signs and snatching a red MAGA hat from a group of Trump supporters who were protesting the nomination of Joe Biden at the Democratic National Convention last month. After Winslow stole the hat, a boy is heard in the video saying, that's my hat. That doesn't belong to me. It belongs to somebody else. Call 911, he says, when the women walk away with his hat. Later, a man trying to retrieve the hat is punched by one of the women, who later tosses the hat over a fence. The charges carry possible penalties of up to 15 years in prison. Delaware County Attorney General Kathy Jenkins, prosecuting the case, said harming another person, let alone a child, because the expression of their views betrayed the principles of which our country was founded. Tell me about it. Interfering with the victim's free exercise of enjoyment of any right, privilege, or immunity protected by the First Amendment of the United States of the Constitution is illegal. Ladies and gentlemen, we see irony upon irony across our nation today, where you find people that will be prosecuted for stealing a MAGA hat, and they should have been prosecuted, but at the same time having perpetrated upon the youngsters in California. And ladies and gentlemen, the thing that makes it so ironic is that this same type of law will be institutionalized and made law in other states like Oregon and Colorado and Washington State and D.C., New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, some of the most liberal blue states in America will grasp onto that, grab it, and make it law in their states. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that talks about a professor that condones murder of President Trump supporters. Nothing wrong with it from a moral perspective, he says. A college professor contends there was nothing wrong with the murder of a Patriot Prayer supporter during rioting in Portland, Oregon. University of Rhode Island professor Eric Loomis appears to justify the murdering of those who hold opposing views. He wrote George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley. Turley observed that Loomis insists that any problem in gunning down right-wing counter-protesters was tactical and not a moral issue at all. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the secularization of our nation. We're watching the sexualization of our kids. We're watching the demoralization of our morals and ethics and values as a foundation. And we're watching this take place from the educational system and from the political system across America today, ladies and gentlemen. It is sad to see what is taking place, and it seems as though there's no holes barred for going toward Sodom and Gomorrah and that lifestyle on a Jumbo 777 full steam ahead. We're watching today, ladies and gentlemen, the demoralization, the destruction of our very foundation. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, Brother Davis, how are you?
Pastor, good to hear from you today. I'm doing well. I hope you are.
Yes, sir. Everything is going well. I'm a little bit puzzled with our elected leaders on today, basically, Dr. Youngblood, because my Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Anytime you sin, according to the Bible, it says that you become a transgressor of the law. That's
right.
A lawbreaker. That's what that's saying. That's saying that you are a lawbreaker. So when you break the law, then there's a penalty for the crime that you have committed. And it seems like to me, instead of enforcing the law, which is their job, they're making loopholes and other excuses to excuse the criminals for their actions that they're doing. So that's really going against what the Word of God says, as well as the laws that we have in the land to punish evildoers by.
You're exactly right, and what we're watching is so antithetical to what would be called normalcy. We're watching as they're legalizing the perverts and the pedophiles and those that want to prey on our youngsters. They're legalizing that, and at the same time, they're making Christianity and the church and opening the doors of the church and the preaching of the gospel. They're persecuting and prosecuting that and making that illegal in the same states that are allowing the perversion to take place. And that Amen. Is so antithetical to anything that would be called making sense. But we need to understand, and I know you're familiar with this, that in Matthew 24, it talks about lawlessness being the rule of the day in the last days. We're watching that. It is literally a lawlessness that is permeating our nation from every hand.
Amen.
And it's a demonic system. It is a demonic delusion that we see. And I'm in agreement with what you're saying. Our politicians, those elected leaders, and we need to, at the polls on November the 3rd, we need to, as a nation of Christians, we need to speak loudly and clearly. The revolution that must come about is a revolution at the ballot box. We need to exercise our right and our freedom to vote and vote some of these, if I can be bold enough to say, idiots and fools out of office so that we can have a hope of saving America. That's what we ought to do. We ought to vote.
Amen.
Every Christian that's listening to me now, if you're not registered to vote, register. You've got until October the 3rd. If you're not registered to vote and you do not vote, shame on you. It is our responsibility to be salt and light. So, Pastor Davis, keep on praying, brother. Keep on holding the banner of faith up and keep on keeping on in serving the Lord. We're thankful
Amen.
For
Thank
you. Thankful
sir.
For the ministry. Thank you for
Thank
calling.
You.
God bless you today. Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about if our foundations be destroyed. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says sexualization of our children in the government schools. And it says, imagine you have a 10-year-old, 11-year-old child just entering the public school system. How would you feel if you were part of a class ostensibly about the risk of sexually transmitted diseases? And he or she in their class, their classmates are given risk cards that graphically name a variety of solidarity and mutual sex acts of it, or if, in another lesson, he was encouraged to disregard what you told him about sex and to rely instead on the teacher's health clinic staff members. Ladies and gentlemen, they have the what they call the health cards. They also have the health dice that's used in the health classes. And on these health cards and the dice that are used in the classroom for teaching sex education, they have the different anatomy of male and female body parts depicted on these cards or on these dice. And when you roll the dice, then a young girl would pick one up, a young boy would pick one up. They would have to then stand before the class and tell how those two body parts could interact and what would be the results of it and the thoughts in relationship to it. And the teacher helps to facilitate to make sure that they depict it correctly and that they describe it adequately in that classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the sexualization of our children in the public school classroom. That's bad enough. But ladies and gentlemen, Netflix has just stepped over the line. Netflix ought to be taken off everybody's television. In fact, if you're listening to me today, I want you to listen very carefully to what, if you're not familiar with it, what Netflix is doing and what it is doing to our morals and ethics and values. It is going to be part and parcel of the destruction of the foundation, morally and ethically speaking, of our nation. This article says viewers rage against Netflix after Cuties, that's C-U-T-I-E-S, Cutest premiere features female breast nudity of minors, a shot of breast, buns, spread crotches, and scantily clad children. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this sounds wretched and raw that I'm saying. I'm just reading the headlines for us to understand it. This article says hordes of streaming viewers are calling to cancel Netflix after the company recently debuted the film Cuties, insisting that the project, which tells the story of a young sensual dance group, is nothing more than pedophilia. So far, nearly 600,000 people have signed a change.org petition entitled Cancel Netflix Subscription. Ladies and gentlemen, that place is change.org petition, and it's to cancel Netflix. I recommend that you do it immediately. Early Thursday, IMBS film page for Cuties described a moment in the film as lawfully defined as pedophilia. One of the parental warnings on the film read, during one of the many highly sexualized and erotic dances, dance scenes purposefully exploits and objectifies numerous scantily clad underage girls. One of the female child dancers lifts up her top and fully displays her bare breast. This is lawfully defined as pedophilia and can be extremely distressing for many viewers, this writer says. Further, any warning noted, in the warnings noted, an 11-year-old girl watches a female rap music video where naked women role play through dance and through heterosexual, homosexual, and lesbian acts. An 11-year-old girl, female, dances in the group, then mimics these sexual moves on themselves and each other while the camera zooms in on their body parts, which are erotically exposed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the sexualization of our kids. We're talking about the allowing our kids to be prey for the pedophiles and for the perverts in America. We're talking about the undermining, the tearing down, and the destroying of the very warp and woof that is the very fabric of our foundation, of our nation. We're watching as the socialist, Marxist, communist, BLM Democrats continue to allow the street riots and the burning while these things are taking place and churches are being persecuted and prosecuted. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the coming together of ultimate ruin of America's foundations unless we do something. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I was calling to ask a provocative rhetorical question. If our children are not allowed to smoke before the age of 18 because their bodies are still growing and developing, then has anybody done any research on what anal sex to an 8-year-old would do to their developing body?
I don't think there's any research been done on that. I don't think there's any care or concern from both the hierarchy in the medical profession as well, and also in the legal and political profession, because I think the mindset today is that the – and by the way, our listeners need to understand, the sodomite group, the homosexual group, the LGBTQ agenda group, make up less than 4% of the United States of America's population, but they control 98% of what happens in the movies and the videos and Hollywood and the political agenda in the United States of America. 98% control over America, and yet the small group that is called Christian in America, our voice is unheard, unheeded, and demeaned and dissed in society. So to answer your question succinctly, no, and they don't care about any research on that, because the future of that child's life is inconsequential. It is pleasure for a season, and that is the designed purpose of Satan and the demonic act that is overthrowing the morals and ethics and the values and will absolutely destroy our constitutional republic that we've known for 244 years.
Yes, it will, and our children are uncared for and unloved.
That's right, and yet we're so, and yet parents are prosecuted if a child may be left at home 8, 10, 12, 14 years old by themselves and the law enforcement finds out about it. It is, woe is me, you are in some way harming your child or you're not concerned about the child, and yet we're allowing, by way of legislation, our children in America to be absolutely consumed in the pedophile pervert lifestyle that is training them, grooming them to become that same kind of an adult. But you're exactly right. We keep on praying, keep on looking up, lift up our heads. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that speaks very clearly of what I have just said in relationship to the churches being prosecuted and persecuted while we're making, passing legislation that destroys the morals, ethics, and the values. It says $52,700 in fines for going to church and $50,000 each week being levied against the North Valley Baptist Church in California, Santa Clara County. Ladies and gentlemen, that is an unethical, ungodly, unholy move to absolutely crush the moral, ethical voice. And ladies and gentlemen, have you wondered why this is reaching the crescendo as it is now? It is simply because we have less than 60 days before the election, and it is an attempt to squelch, to quiet, to shut up the voices of the Christians, that the Christian voice can't be heard. It is the Christian voice that needs to be heard. It is the Christian that needs to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen today if we're going to have any hope of doing anything to salvage the United States of America. I have an article here that says Big Tech shuts down online conservative prayer gatherings. Every aspect of Big Tech, every aspect of the political agenda is today in the full steam ahead mode to try to squelch the voices of Christians. We need to be speaking up at the ballot box November the 3rd. Vote, vote, vote. We need to reelect President Donald J. Trump. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.